Okay, so our next speaker is Etienne Heslin. Where's Etienne's right here. Okay, Etienne is, this is my translation, Etienne, so if I'm wrong, you can hit me when you come on stage. He's advisor to the Director General of CIRAD, and CIRAD focuses on, it's a French institution, focuses on prime issues around the role of agriculture in the Southern Hemisphere. It's in France. It has about 900 scientists working for it, so it's a substantial organization. Conducts work in more than 40 Southern Hemisphere countries. Etienne is an agronomist by training. He has a PhD in genetics and plant breeding, and I must say at this point that plant breeders are becoming increasingly rare and an increasingly high-valued commodity in the world. He has long-term positions in the Ivory Coast, Réunion Island, Canada, Brazil, France, all of these places, and he's worked on missions in close to 40 countries. His scientific efforts have centered mostly on corn and sugarcane, and he is interested in the links between the social sciences and agronomics. So, Etienne, if you would.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to speak here before this nice audience. So I'm just going to build a little bit about on what has been said this morning about sustainable intensification to stress some points that we think are extremely important regarding the jobs in sub-Saharan Africa and the rural income. So my talk will be threefold. Reminding that food security is intimately linked with rural incomes, that has been said over and over, but more specifically, two specific points about the challenge that sub-Saharan African countries will face in the future for jobs, and then the interaction between the intensification pathways and the job inclusiveness of this intensification. So just reminding very briefly what has been said several over and over by everybody and stressing the fact that most of the poor people and most of the people in situation of food insecurity are living in rural area. And the second point is that the farmers and most farmers are buyers and sellers of food depending on the season, depending on the year. So food security is intimately linked with rural income. And I'm going to just present what's the challenge of rural income in sub-Saharan Africa now, considering the demographic transition that these countries are facing. African continent is confronted simultaneously with an incomplete demographic transition and a very incipient economic transition in a very harsh context of competition, global competition, with, as you know, growing constraints. It's an historically unique situation. Other continents have lived through this demographic transition, but in completely different context. And given the size of the challenge, we think that the response that is going to be given to this challenge in the next maybe two decades will be determinant for the future of the continent. So what is the transition demographic in sub-Saharan Africa? So as you know, the figures, we're going to pass from 860 million people to 1.8 billion people, which is the mid figures of the International Committee about the demographic in Africa. But what is very important is that this demographic transition is going to come with an incredible change in terms of structure of the people. Over the last 40 years, the activity ratio, meaning the active people on the inactive people in sub-Saharan African countries, have been really adverse. I have a figure here where you see the red line is the African countries, the yellow line is the Latin American countries, the green is Eastern Asia, mainly China, and the blue is the South Asia, mainly India. So as you see, the ratio for Africa is growing from around 1 in the 90s, which means that when the structural adjustment came in the 80s, it was at the worst time of the demographic structure in Africa. And as you see, this ratio is growing now, whereas the other ratio of the other continents are declining. So that means that, for example, the huge growth in China happened when the demographic dividend, where there were almost two active people for one inactive people. And Africa is going to know this situation pretty soon. So we know that African ratio will grow to two in the next 30 years. We don't know exactly where it's going to stop because it's beyond the historical possibility of planning. But what we know is that this demographic transition is a huge opportunity for growth because obviously it increased the economic active population. But at the same time, this demographic dividend, which occurs only once in the life of any continent, must be really rightly managed because it can be an incredible opportunity, but at the same time, if the jobs are not offered to coming people, it can be a very strong source of social tension. So today, every year, you have 17 million new people coming for jobs in sub-Saharan Africa. It will reach in 25 million people coming to the job market, to the labor market. So when you see the curve, this is the absolute numbers of yearly cohort of young people arriving to labor market. You see that, you can see easily that China transition has kind of passed in the 90s. You see that Southern Asia with the blue lines is going to pass in maybe a decade, but you see that Africa is still growing for the next 40 years. So it's a obviously huge number involved in that. But when you think about the jobs that has to be provided to this new cohort in rural area, when you cross the ratio between urban and rural, and you kind of compute the number of jobs you have to provide in rural area for sure, it gives you the size of the challenge. Out of the 17 million arriving each year in sub-Saharan Africa, 11 will live in rural areas. So rural areas will be still for the next 30 or 40 years the main place where these coming generations are going to live and try to make their living. So between now and 2025, the economies of sub-Saharan African countries will have to incorporate 330 million of young people, which is huge and which leads to the question of what are the place where you can find these jobs? And it's not hypothetical figures. All these people are already born and they're coming every year in the market. So from today until 2025, there will be almost 200 million people that are going to have to find a job, income in rural area in sub-Saharan Africa. So the question is that before going to agriculture, going back to agriculture jobs, you have to consider the economic transition of the continents to see if this continent is able to provide jobs. So as you know, the economy of sub-Saharan Africa is very poorly diversified and has a very strong inertia. So there's been a rapid urbanization without a real industrialization. So the population remained mainly rural. 60% of the people made their living in rural areas. So the employment challenge will be to the difficulty of developing industrial sector in the context of an incredible growing competition, when you know that 60 to 80% of active people make their living from agriculture or from activities linked to agriculture. And that you know that the other main sector providing jobs is the informal jobs in the cities, which represent 10% of the jobs in Africa. So agriculture and rural sector, as a conclusion, will have to create tens of millions of jobs in the coming years. Otherwise, they're going to be very strong risk of social upheaval. So the second part of my talk will be to analyze how intensification pathways will be able to provide these jobs. So as it's been mentioned several times, after decades of despisal, agriculture is back on the agenda, and not only development and economic agenda, but also political agenda. During all these years, African farmers proved that they were able to feed the continent despite many people think that it's not the case, but actually African farmers managed to feed the cities, the growing cities in Africa, for the main part. They were able to, I'm going to show you the figures, to increase their productivity very seriously, even without any support, any fertilizer, but it was not sustainable, but they increased the productivity. What we know is that they are living in situation of extreme poverty, so the diversification capacity of the farmers today in Africa is extremely reduced. And they have at the same time to face markets with more competition from global competition. The third point is that this intensification pathway could be very diverse. Obviously, it depends on the situation, the local situation, the capacity of innovation, the cluster of innovation, local cluster of innovation. But for sure, considering the job challenge, it has to be sustainable, but also labor intensive. It has to provide jobs, a lot of jobs. And what is very worrying is that the model of modernization of agriculture is frequently linked to a massive rural eviction. To modernize agriculture, the model is to go through the conventional Green Revolution parameters, and that result in a huge rural eviction, pushing people from outside the rural areas. At the same time, we know for expenditure for sure that family agriculture, smallholders, have a comparative advantage. They can be very competitive, very adaptive, and they can really lead the transformation. So the choice between these two image of agriculture is open considering the job problem. But I want to show you these figures, which is very important in terms of intensification. That's computing data from FAO over the 40 last years by continents. And you have on the vertical axis the production of the vegetal production converted into kilocal per hectare per day to be able to compute 140 products that the FAO is following. And it represents the productivity per hectare and per day. And on the horizontal axis, you have the number of hectare cropped and farmed by active, by farmer. And you see by continents extreme different pathways of intensification. The black line is the rich countries where with the oil, with mechanization, the number of hectare crop by one farmer is growing. And at the same time, the former Soviet Union is the blue line, which is a kind of a specific case, but the other continents are following a different pathways where they kind of double in the 40 years their productivity, but without reducing or without too much eviction from the farmers. And you know that after the Green Revolution in Asia, the income was mixed with other income from the farming, but the farm size was reduced, but not that much. The problem with the rich country was the introduction, the problem. The pathway was the introduction of mechanization with oil, and so the productivity per worker increased a lot, and you can compare where now you have capacity of producing 20,000 quintals of cereal per worker in the very sophisticated agricultural system in the northern countries. Just to make you just a sense of what happens in the local market, it's comparing the rice price in Dakar. Obviously, it's an extreme comparison. It's not the case for all the cereals in the local markets, but the rice in Dakar, the buffer policy is kind of weak. And you can compare on the market the rice coming from southern Senegal or the rice coming from Louisiana or from southern France, for example. They arrive at the same size in the market. And so the productivity of the worker, the ratio is about 1 to 200. So I have to wrap up. I'm sorry. Okay. So The wrap-up will be about a project we have with the World Bank and the IFAD for on 26 regions in 7 countries, where we have an income survey of 8,000. I put the address of the internet here, a survey of 800 households' income during the 4-7 years. It's just been published. And the conclusion about rural income is that structural change in sub-Saharan Africa didn't happen. The extreme poverty prevent the structural change to happen. And the recommendation for this project is that if we want to challenge, to face this challenge of job and intensification pathways, we have to give high priority to staple. Obviously, in terms of food security, staple is grown in any household, and the market is good, and it can unlock diversification. And the domestic potential demand is huge in South Sub-Saharan Africa, and there is a strong chain value for transformation. The second thing is that we have to challenge the intensification pathways in terms of sustainability, obviously, but specifically in terms of jobs. The small versus large-scale debate must include job issues, which is not including now. And we need to approach the regional market question to be able to support this family agriculture, to be able to cope with this challenge of jobs. So just for conclusion, smallholders and family agriculture play the main role in the transformation needed to improve food security in sub-Saharan Africa. They must be the very first political priority. The increase of local demand for food products creates a very dynamic market, local and regional. It is crucial that these smallholders can take advantage of this unique opportunity, and otherwise there will be a massive eviction from these farmers. Third, the model of rural transformation and intensification pathways must allow agriculture to create jobs and generate incomes. And then, finally, there is an imperative need to reinvest in strategy that reconnects sectoral and rural development with long-term vision action plan and building local capacities and institutions. Thank you very much.